Scripture reading tonight from the NIV version, Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 24. So Ephesians 4, 17 to 24. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness.
Thanks, Judy. Here's a simple rule of Bible study. Whenever you see the word therefore, always ask what it's there for. Therefore always ties to something previous. So if you come at a passage and it says therefore, you better make sure that you know the context, or you're very liable to go off in a wrong direction somewhere. We start with a very, very huge therefore today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12, and I'm going to be reading the first two verses. Therefore, I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may test and approve what is the will of God, what is good and well-pleasing and perfect. Let's pause and ask for the Lord to be our teacher this evening. Father, thank you so much for your word to us. Thank you that you chose to initiate communication and that you didn't leave us wondering. Lord, I ask that today, this evening, you would open our hearts to hear your word. And Father, I ask that what I say would bring glory and honor to you, and that your words would burn into our souls and bear eternal results, and my words would be quickly forgotten. Lord, may you speak through your servant this evening. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. Amen. Therefore, I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to do something. Ha! Therefore, what's the therefore? Therefore, the therefore means that we finally arrived at what Paul wants them to change, how he wants them to act. All of the good practical stuff. We have been talking for 11 chapters, and if I remember correctly, that would make it about 14 months of what comes before the therefore. Everything from Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 11:36 is what Paul is talking about in that one word, therefore. Because of everything that I've said so far. Oh, how many of you remember all of it? Yeah, me neither. But it's worth taking a look back. Maybe you've got some time. Maybe God won't let you sleep in tomorrow morning, and he'll wake you up early, and you can sit with your book of Romans open and read through the first 11 chapters or peruse through over the weekend. I don't know. But take some time to spend in the first 11 chapters just reviewing.
Guilty.
Chapters 1 through 3, or at least 1 through part of 3. And then we see God's grace and God's justification as it is applied to us. What Jesus has done for us, whether we're Gentiles or whether we're Jews. Remember, that's the whole big issue in Rome. We have the Gentiles and we have the Jews, and the two hated each other. You remember why? Because the Gentiles took over the Jews' church when the Jews got kicked out. And then the Jews came back and they said, we want our church back. The Gentiles said, well, get with the program then. They said, no, we wrote the program. The Gentiles said, no, you didn't. And it went on from there. There was no love lost in that church between one side and the other. And that's why Paul goes through all of those 11 chapters. Talking to the Jews and then talking to the Gentiles and then talking to the Gentiles and talking to the Jews. And he comes to the point where he says, guys, we're all the same. We're all guilty before Jesus. Jesus has done what's necessary. The Holy Spirit has applied it to us. And Gentiles, get over yourselves, because God still loves the Jews. And Jews, suck it up, because the Gentiles are living by faith. Whoa. And then he ends chapter 11 with these words, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how unfathomable his ways. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. We get so wrapped up, as Jamie prayed, in our cloud of things that we get so focused on, our situations, our circumstances, our everything, that we forget that is just the here and now. And Scripture talks about us as being pilgrims. We're on a pilgrimage. What makes a pilgrim really, really happy? When to arrive. Where does our pilgrimage end? In heaven. So if you're still here, and you still got a pulse, you're still pilgriming. We haven't arrived yet. We're still tenting. We're camping out in this world. Our home is still in heaven. And we need to remember that it's God who is the important one. Therefore, Paul says, because of all of that, I urge you, I implore you. He doesn't command them, but he doesn't ask them nicely. This is somewhere tucked in between. He doesn't say, thou shalt. But he doesn't say, would you please? There is passion in Paul's plea to the church at Rome. Therefore, I implore you, I urge you, therefore, with everything that's in me, I beg of you, by the mercies of God. What mercies? Well, duh, the previous 11 chapters. The mercies that God loves to pour out on us, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a sacrifice. There are so many words that are just so loaded in these two verses. As I've warned you before, short passage, long message. So We'll try not to let that be true tonight, but. Therefore, I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice. When Paul writes this, what is going on in Jerusalem? Well, that's standard. That always has been, always will be, probably. Sacrifices. The temple is still going, and there are still hundreds and thousands of animals being slaughtered, being sacrificed. Every day, every week, every month, following the sacrificial system. And remember what Paul has said, Jesus is the end of the law to all who believe. And so Paul then flips this on its head and says, okay, you know what? You want to talk about sacrifice? It's you. I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a sacrifice. How do we do that? Good question. We'll get to it. Present your bodies as a sacrifice. And there's a really cool word that comes next, at least in my translation, and it is alive. Let me ask you a question. How many times can you offer a particular lamb as a sacrifice? One time. After that, it's done. But a living sacrifice, that's different. That's a perpetual sacrifice. That's an everyday sacrifice. That is not a one-time-for-all sacrifice. If you've heard anybody preach on this before, you probably heard that the problem with living sacrifices is they keep crawling off the altar. But see, that's not the point that Paul is getting at here. The point he's getting at is you need to present, I need to present my body on an ongoing, daily, everyday basis as a sacrifice to God. Living, holy, and acceptable. We'll talk about those words in a few minutes. But this is an ongoing present action. This isn't a one-time-for-all deal and it's finished and I'll never... No. Every day, Lord, what do you have for us today? See, when we present our bodies... Let me ask you a question. What do you do in your body through the day? Eat, okay. Sorry? We live! Every day you live in your body. I dare you to try to live outside your body. I dare you to try to live without your body. It doesn't work. We live in our body, and our body is what contains us at this point in time. And so as I go about my day, my body, guess what? It tags along with me. And everything that I do is being done in this chunk of flesh. And this is what I give to God. Say, God, what do you want with this today? What kinds of things do we do as we live in our body? What are some things that we do, perhaps? Sorry, Gloria? We visit. What does visiting entail? Actions. Think actions. What does visiting entail? Talking. Your body talks, doesn't it? Sometimes, Mike, louder than others when your knee is going or something, right? So what do you want to say? God, what do you want me to say? See, my body, these lips and this tongue, is part of my physical body that I am urged to present to the Lord on a daily basis, on an ongoing basis. God, do you see what that driver just did? He says, of course I did. I'm sitting in the car with him. What do you want to say? Where should we go today, God? What shall I Google today, God? What shall I watch on TV? What shall I read? What shall I listen to? Who shall I hang out with? Every one of those things is done inside your body. And God wants it. God wants that as your sacrifice to Him on an ongoing, perpetual basis. He wants what you do. He wants what you say. He wants all of you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, a living one. Not one that crawls up onto the altar and says, I'm done, I'm dead. But one that says, okay, today is another day of sacrifice. I give myself to God. See, it's all about what God wants. It's not about what I want. It's what God has planned. It's not about what I have planned. This is why I'm trying to readjust my own prayer, for example. God, it's not about, God, would you live in me and through me today? It's about, God, how can I live your life today? It's about me living God's life, not God living mine. God is the one who is the director. God is the one who's the master creator. He's the one that maps out every one of my days. Psalm 139 tells us that. Everything that I do on any given day, He already knows, and He wants me to offer myself as a sacrifice, which means I give up my rights to my life the way I want it. I give up what I want, what I think is best. If I live my life as a sacrifice, there is nothing that I can lay claim to in my life. It's His. And that is scary if you don't know God. Remember a few weeks ago we talked that if you're having troubles trusting God, maybe it's not so much a trust issue as it is knowing God issue. The better we get to know Him, the more we can trust Him, and the more we can realize that no matter what my ringtone is, That's two interruptions in one server. You're doing well, Dawn. For those of you over here, you couldn't hear his phone revving its engine over this way. Folks, it's all about what God wants. And that's sometimes very difficult. The more we get to know God, the more we can trust Him. That doesn't mean life is always easy. it does mean that it's good. And there's a difference. Growth happens when we struggle. Growth happens when we fight. And we learn. And we cry and we scream and we... God is good all the time, which means I have to readjust my definition of good a lot of times. But this is what God is asking for. He's asking for you. He's not asking for your Friday nights or your Sunday mornings. He's not asking for the time you spend watching the good shows on TV or watching the good stuff on YouTube. He's asking for all of it. All of it. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a sacrifice that is alive. That is walking through my day, sacrifice to God, which means it's what He wants, not what I want. It's His plan, not my plan. It's His will, not my will. Does that leave a whole lot of questions in my life? You better believe it. God, why? Do you ever stop and realize that God very seldom answers that question? And I think probably the biggest reason He doesn't is because I couldn't handle the answer. My brain's not big enough. Because the whys encompass God's knowledge, which goes from end to end with no end in sight, time and eternity, and everything in between. And I just can't fathom that. But God knows what He's doing. I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies a sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God. That word holy means set apart. It means dedicated to God. It means everything that we've been saying. It's not about me, it's not about you, it's about God. He's the one who wants your life. He's the one who wants all of it. Not most of it, not a part of it, all of it. Alive, holy, and pleasing to God. You ever wonder how to make God smile? God, here I am. I'm yours. Because quite frankly, He paid for me. I have no right to expect Him to do something for me. I'm His creation. I make my demands and I try to pull Him down to my level. That is a very, very, very shallow and thin, immature perspective on who and what God is. Pleasing to God is to say, here I am, Lord. Today, what would you like to do? Where should we go? What should we do? And you're going, how am I supposed to know what He answers? I'm so glad you asked. Actually, let me back up for a minute here. There's a word here that's a lot of fun. I was a little bit surprised when I was looking at this. Present your bodies as a sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. That word reasonable, some of your translations will have the word spiritual there. Do you know what English word we get from that word in Greek? Logic. It's the word we get our whole concept of logic and logical. In other words, it makes sense. If I understand who God is and who I am, offering myself as a living sacrifice only makes sense. That word service, some of your translations will have the word worship. It's service to God. I don't particularly like the word worship there, although it can be translated that way, because worship carries way too much baggage in our culture. Way too much baggage. It is how we serve God. Do you want to serve God in a way that He appreciates, in a way that's pleasing? Offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your logic. This is the logical outcome. You look at the previous 11 chapters, this is what makes sense. This is your reasonable service. This is what you should do. You know the biggest problem with common sense? It ain't so common anymore. Same goes in churches. This just makes sense. When we know who God is, and I know who I am, the only logical response is, here I am. It's the exact same thing that Isaiah said in Isaiah 6 when he encountered the Lord. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And that vision of majesty and glory. There was only one response for Isaiah when God asked, whom shall I send? Pick me, I'll go. There's only one response. I will be your sacrifice. And don't be discouraged, because when you go to sleep, there's always the 99% chance you'll wake up and you can do it again. So if you got it wrong today, or you didn't get it quite as good as you'd like today, that's okay. God knew that too. Every day is a whole new opportunity to serve God by giving yourself to Him as a living sacrifice. It only makes sense. Holy, set apart, dedicated to Him, and alive. I told you, I'm halfway through my passage, and we've already been here for 25 minutes. Are you ready for another 45? Oh, the yays are louder than the nays. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what the will of God is, what is good, and what is perfect, what is right. These are some really cool words, and I'll try not to spend another half an hour on it. I promise, I'll try. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Those verbs are actually in the exact same tense. I told you we need grammar to understand Scripture, right? The really cool thing is these are passive tenses. It's what's called a permissive passive, which means it's something that I allow to happen to me. Do not allow yourself any longer to be conformed to this world, is actually what Paul is saying here. Stop it! You're allowing yourself to be conformed to this world. Stop it! Do not allow yourself to be conformed to this world any longer. But remember, it's the same tense, but allow yourself to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we change our thought patterns and our thought processes? You want to know one of the best ways that I've found to change my thought patterns and thought processes? Hang out with someone who's smarter than me and keep my mouth shut and my ears open. The more I try to impress them, the less I learn and the less they're impressed. The more I keep my mouth shut, the more I can learn. You know the old saying, it's better to be silent and thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. So who is this that we need to sit with and allow to transform our thoughts? God. How much time do you spend not learning about God? I'm not talking about YouTube. I'm not talking about Google or the internet or your TV programs. I'm not talking about any of that. A lot of that is good, but a lot of that fills your head with knowledge about God and does nothing to change your life. If it's not transforming your life, then it's stuck here and it's useless. Spend time with God, not with people who spend time with God. That's a place to start, as long as they're taking you to God. That's what this whole year is about, being captivated by the author, falling in love with Jesus again, not falling in love with Scripture, falling in love with Jesus through Scripture. Spending time with God in His Word or with other people. Don't talk about other people when you're with other people. Talk about God and the amazing things that He does. I have a friend that I love to get together with. We don't do it as often as either one of us would like. But we sit there and we'll sit in the restaurant and we'll look at our watches and go, well, he will. I won't. I don't wear a watch. I'll look at my phone. 3 hours. As we've talked about Scripture and about God and about what God is doing and about the amazingness that is the person of God. If only I could just transplant that into each one of you, that would just, so cool. But it's something that you've got to catch and that you've got to find for yourself, and that is that relationship with the living person that is God. To connect with Him in a way where He actually does walk with you and talk with you and tell you, you're mine. And you can hear that and know that. Now, none of us get it perfect. None of us do it all the time. But Paul is saying, guys, you've got to stop allowing yourselves in this world filled with bombardments. And let's face it, we got a whole lot more bombarding us than the Roman church did 2,000 years ago. He says, you've got to stop allowing yourself to be conformed to that way of thinking. And you've got to allow God the opportunity to transform your life by renewing your mind. One of the courses, or the course that I'm taking, one of the things they always say when I'm doing the reading homework, the assignments, they say, read for two things. Read for information, read for transformation. Allow what you read to get into your heart and into your life, and through that, into your actions. Don't read Scripture for information. Read it for transformation. Read it so that it permeates your heart to the point that it comes out your fingertips. So that when you're driving and that other person cuts you off, you go, the fruit of the Spirit is not sign language. Bless you, my child. Can you tell I'm excited about this passage? This is what it means to live, to really live a Christian life. Don't get me wrong. It ain't easy. Jesus told us that, right? Broad is the gate, wide is the path, whatever the proper words are. I've read it in way too many translations. It's going to be easy to get to hell, and it's going to be really hard to walk the path that gets you to heaven. But it's going to be worth it. Because God wants to walk that path with us. You want to know how to prove what is the good, perfect will of God? Get to know Him better. Spend time with Him. You've probably heard this before. This isn't new or even current. How do you tell a counterfeit bill? Most of us don't. I mean, in this day and age, people go, what's paper money? They're all attuned to Interact and Apple Pay and whatever else. Back in the day when we used banks for banking apart from the internet, how did a teller determine, how was a teller trained to notice counterfeit money? Study the real thing. You spend all your time with the real thing. And when something that comes across isn't quite right, you instantly know it. Something's just off. That's how we tell what God's word is. This word here is to discern, to prove by testing, to look at the options and go, which is the one that God would pick? And because we spend time with God, because our lives are dedicated and sacrificed to Him, we're spending time with Him, and He is slowly in this lifelong process rewriting my mind. I can pick which one is correct. I don't always get it right. I don't always want to get it right. Let's be honest. But that's how we can discern, is by allowing God the time to get into our minds and to step by step, day by day, year by year, decade by decade, renew and transform our minds. This is not an overnight process. This isn't, Lord Jesus, please give me the mind of Christ. Woo, got it done, and on we go. God doesn't do things that way. If He did, He wouldn't have taken 7 days to create the world. He wouldn't have taken how many hundreds of years to create the nation of Israel. He wouldn't take thousands of years to create the perfect spot in history for Jesus to be born. God is a God of process. He's a God of growth and maturation. And that's what this is all about. Allowing Him the time and the space for Him to change my mind, to grow it, to be more like Him. And someday, maybe today, I'll see Him face to face. But until that day, I'm living right here. Therefore, I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed anymore to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may test and approve what is the will of God, what is good and well-pleasing and perfect. I'm going to ask you to remain standing as we close in prayer. Father, thank you for doing what was necessary to give us the opportunity for a relationship with you. Lord, thank you. And I ask for each person here that you would be at work in their hearts, drawing them into that embrace of yours that was the whole reason why you came, Jesus. You told us you came to bring us life and life abundantly, to teach us what it meant to really live. Lord Jesus, please help us not to be too afraid or too arrogant or too darkened in our own minds to realize that that way is to sacrifice. For each person here, I ask that you would continue your work in their hearts and in their lives, in whatever the path is that you're walking with them. May you be pleased by the responses you find in them tonight. Now to the one who is able to keep you from falling and to cause you to stand rejoicing without blemish before his glorious presence, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus the Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.